My part on the program is to talk about the agronomic challenges and opportunities that I see in rotating cotton with other crops. And like most of these guys, I've spent my entire career in areas that are predominantly cotton, but I've had also responsibilities with other crops, and I've worked with farmers growing other crops. And I'll use that information in this talk. And also, we've got some long-term rotation experiments in Alabama that I think can provide us some needed information on this topic. One of those rotations is actually called the old rotation, and it's located on the campus of Auburn University, and it's actually the oldest continuous cotton rotation in the United States. It was started in 1896. Actually, the campus has kind of grown around the test, but we've got it preserved there, and it rotates cotton with other crops, plus uses a lot of legumes in rotations as a nitrogen source, which as everybody's talking about nitrogen prices, we may need to look at that data some more. There's also a test located where I'm located at Tennessee Valley Regional Extension Center, and this rotation test was started in 1979. That was a time when cotton was going through a phase where yields weren't increasing, and a lot of people were wondering if maybe this continuous cotton was the reason. So we have one-year rotation data since 1979 on cotton and corn, cotton, soybeans, cotton double crop with wheat and soybeans. We have our continuous cotton plots. We've changed several things in the rotations over the years. We have some continuous no-till cotton plots in the test where cotton is no-tilled in old stubble or no-tilled in the wheat since 1988. And actually, we revised this test in 1995, and now all the plots are in some kind of conservation tillage. Well, the first thing we think about when we talk about cotton, we know that cotton is a dicot plant. And if we're thinking about rotating with cotton, normally what we're going to think about is trying to rotate with some kind of monocot, because usually the same diseases, pathogens, are not present on the dicot as they are on the monocot plant. There are some exceptions to that. But if you look down the bottom, you see the corn growing in the field. That reminds me of Dr. Kathy Lawrence in Auburn recently screened all the corn varieties that she could get a hold of in the greenhouse to see if they were resistant to reniform nematode. And fortunately, she found out that the corn would not none of the corn varieties would harbor the reniform nematodes at all. So if you have reniform nematode, corn is a great rotational crop. Unfortunately, she found out that all the corn varieties that she tested did grow root knot nematodes. So if you have root knot nematodes, it's not a good thing. So this is the kind of information that we need when we're rotating. You may not recognize the peanuts right above the corn there, but that is a good rotation that they use for root knot nematode control in Alabama. Soybeans generally not considered a great rotational crop with cotton, but there are certain things. There are a few varieties that have some like reniform resistance that you could rotate, with cotton. The main thing when I started trying to figure out how to do this talk was the biggest challenge that I see is recognizing if you want to get the most out of your rotation, is you got to figure out what is your limiting factor in each field. You'll see me talk about a lot about reniforms, because I've been working on that a lot lately. And this is a slide of a very severe reniform infested field in North Alabama, where we've rotated fields like this to 1 year of corn and come back with cotton. You know, we've seen yield increases 30% or greater in some of these fields. So it all depends, and you'll see me say this more in the talk, you know, what your limiting factor is in the field. Management differences and fertility difference is another thing I think that farmers have to consider. In our area of residue management, you know, what are you going to do if you rotate with corn or some of these other crops and you have a lot of high residue out there? How are you going to handle that when you go back to cotton? Are you going to till it in the ground? Are you going to grow up? Are you going to leave it out there and no-till in it? You know, are you going to have to change Your planter, are you going to have to put coulters on the front to cut through residue, sweepers in the front, or change your press wheels in the back? All these things are things you have to consider. Also, row spacing. We grow a lot of these crops on narrow rows, corn, soybeans generally, 30 inches. Are you going to switch your cotton to more narrow rows? Are you going to have to switch your pickers around? A lot of things are considered into that. Compaction problems are an issue when you try to change row spacings, depending on your soil. Nitrogen fertilizer rates. Been a lot of talk about that today. Unfortunately, we found in certain cases with high residue on top of the ground growing cotton, we actually have to increase our nitrogen rate slightly because it takes more. That residue ties up. The nitrogen as it is being broken down is not available to the cotton. So actually you can require 20 to 30 pounds more in with that high residue. Just briefly, I'll go through a few of the crops here. Still talking about challenges on corn. I've already talked some on row spacing, plant populations, very high populations now used by most growers. Herbicide restrictions. We ran into this last year in Alabama. Our corn, most of our corn was killed by the Easter freeze. Unfortunately, most of the farmers had already applied atrazine. So they really were limited going back with corn. They might have gone back with cotton if they hadn't had the atrazine out there, so that's something we have to think about. Corn in general has a higher phosphorus requirement than cotton. Zinc requirement also on cotton with higher pHs. Soybeans is the one, of course, it fixes its own nitrogen. It generally has a better root system to take up P and K and requires less than cotton does. In certain studies, we've seen some molybdenum requirements on the soybeans, also manganese on some soils with high pHs. Soybean rust, if you're going to start growing soybeans, you better get educated on soybean rust, because that's going to be a big topic, I think. Wheat, in my area, we've grown a world of wheat. It needs well-drained soils. Unfortunately, in Alabama, we hadn't had any rain in so long, we're really not sure where the wet spots are anymore. So I think a lot of wheat got planted in some areas that may, we'd like to see some water stand, but we haven't seen it in quite a while. The other thing is with wheat, most farmers are used to putting their equipment up for the winter, especially their sprayers. With wheat, you're going to have to get those sprayers out, unwinterize them, and then probably winterize them again when you go back. So there's some management there issues. But there's a lot of opportunities, I think, to rotations, and some of the other speakers are going to talk about these, but I just listed them. Soil organic matter increases if you go with some of these crops that do provide more residue. Disease reductions, nematode reductions, reduce some of the weed control problems and insect control problems. But the main thing, you know, I'm going to kind of talk about is and concerned about, can we increase our cotton yields? And the organic matter part of it is a big part of it, and it depends on if you till in your residue or not, or if you leave it on top of the ground. If you work it into the soil, it's going to be pretty hard to increase your organic matter. It breaks down very quickly. If you leave it on top of the ground, I think you can increase your organic matter more rapidly. And this is verified from that rotation test I told you that we had in North Alabama. And if you look down there in the 88 to 94 years, actually this is a pretty good cotton site, 1.48% organic matter. Most of our soils don't have that much organic matter. So it's a good site, but during that period of time, except for the last two treatments down there, this was conventional tillage. And you really don't see a big increase in organic matter. Only the cotton and the wheat double crop soybeans can you see a big increase there because of increased residue. If you go over the 95 to 01 data, you'll see the organic matter increases more, much higher here. This is when we went to conservation tillage, leaving the residue on top of the ground. Especially in the no-till plots down there, you see we've gotten over over 2% organic matter. Like I said, this doesn't mean a whole lot to anybody unless we can increase yields. This is one slide summarizing a lot of data over years, but my main point is when we were in conventional tillage 1980 to 1987, really our rotation response, yield response were very low. You see 2 to 7%, very low. In 88 to 94, we switched to some conservation tillage, but still the only rotation that really increased our yield is where we did the cotton double crop wheat with soybeans, where we had the more residue, and we also increased some organic matter. Like I mentioned before, in 95 we switched these rotations to all the conservation tillage except for the continuous cotton plot, and all of a sudden you see our yields increases more in the 10 to 15% range, really on all our systems here, especially when we have wheat in the system really seems to help us. So in our case, one of our limiting factors here was moisture retention, and we got this by going to the conservation tillage. So my recurring theme is always this: it depends what your limiting factor is. In South Alabama, where they had this other rotation test, the long old rotation, after 100 years, they actually put it in the conservation tillage, and they've also had the highest yields they've ever seen in those tests in the last 10 years. So again, moisture on some of our soils is a big limiting factor. So in conclusion, in Alabama, we've seen cotton yield increases of 10 to 15% by using a combination of rotations and conservation tillage. On-farm tests, where we had these reniform problems, you know, we have seen over 30% increases in 1 year rotation with corn. You know, the crop rotations are going to require the farmer to have more management, I think. But I think in the long term, you know, we can increase yields if you see our long term data. And hopefully, again, like some other people said, I think our opportunities should be greater than our challenges. That's all I have.